So our passage today begins right after the Lord Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 men, or about 15 to 20,000 people if you include the women and children. Now, last week, Pastor TJ preached about the mighty miracle that the Lord Jesus performed, no? Feeding about 20,000 people with just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And the Bible tells us that those who ate of the bread and the fish, all of them had enough. Sabi ni Saya pa, all of them who ate, nabusog yun sila, no? Natagbaw yun sila. Now, imagine if you were one of the multitude who ate that day. Imagine you were present during that event. You would have been greatly astonished by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You would be filled in awe of the Lord Jesus. Kung sabi ni Saya pa, mahurot yun imuhang bilib, no? Now, guys, these people who ate the miracle bread and the miracle fish, I want you to understand that for the longest time, they have been waiting for a prophet that would lead them. For the longest time, they have been waiting for a Messiah that would lead them to prosperity and set them free from the Roman oppression that they were facing during that time. So here in verse 14, the Bible says, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come to the world." So what these people are saying is this: this is it. The person whom we're waiting for is finally here. Naa na gyud atong gihuwat, our leader, our deliverer, naa na gyud, he's finally here. No, that was their attitude during that time. Now, question, is Jesus their deliverer? Is Jesus their Messiah? Is Jesus their King? We all know the answer to that, right? And the answer is a resounding yes. No, Jesus is the King. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the Messiah. But yet, here in verse 15, the Bible says, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountainside by himself." Now, church, if the Lord Jesus is indeed their King, Deliverer, and Messiah, why then did the Lord Jesus choose to go away when the people wanted to install him as king? No? When the people wanted to make him king, gibiyaan sila ni Lord. Now, you have to understand, these people wanted to make him king because they just witnessed a mighty miracle. Their bodies were healed and their bodies got fed, no? And because of this, they wanted to make Jesus as their political king. Now, while the people wanted to make Jesus as their political king, they failed to realize that on Jesus' first coming, Jesus was all about spiritual kingdom. The Lord Jesus would rather become their spiritual king than become their political Messiah. Now, the people wanted Jesus to deliver them from the Roman oppression. But Jesus would rather deliver them from their slavery to sin. Now, the people wanted Jesus to become their ruler that's feared by the Roman Empire. But Jesus would rather be nailed and die at the Roman cross to pay for their sins, to show his great love for them. Now, the people wanted what was physical and temporal. But Jesus wanted for them what is spiritual and eternal. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. The Lord does sympathize with them on their hardships. The fact that the Lord Jesus fed them all tells us that the Lord deeply cares for them. But then again, the Lord has a greater purpose to accomplish. He has a mission in mind. Now, while the people were only focused on the miracle and the temporal, Jesus was locked in on his mission. Now, church, what was the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ? His mission was to call sinners into repentance. His mission was to live a perfect life that you and I could never live. His mission was to die a brutal death at the cross to pay for the sins that you and I can never pay. Jesus' mission was to do the will of the Father. Jesus' mission was to accomplish and fulfill the glorious gospel of God. That was his mission. That was his priority. So, church, this leads us to point number one. As true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, number one, you got to hold fast and embrace the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As true disciples of the Lord Jesus, you have to savor the glorious gospel of Jesus. You have to understand that it is through the gospel that you were saved. It is through the gospel that you will be able to effectively live out your Christian life. And it is through the gospel that you will enter the gates of eternity to be with the Lord someday. Now guys, it is through the gospel that we will be able to live our Christian life. So as true followers of Christ, we have to embrace the gospel. We have to savor the gospel. And also this, guys, if the gospel was the priority of our Lord Jesus Christ then, so as His followers, it is only rightful that it should be our main priority as well, right? Now, last December, I was invited by a brother to preach in a Christmas party. And it was a Christmas party for pastors. And I think there were about 50 to 70 pastors during that event. And initially, I was extremely hesitant to accept the invitation, no? Because for one, I've never tried preaching where all the audience are pastors. Now guys, let me tell you, pressure na gani kayo muwali ha in front of Dr. Stephen. Now imagine there are 70 Dr. Stephens in front of you. So I was really hesitant to accept that invitation. And secondly, these pastors who attended the event were in the ministries long before me. And some of them are even old enough to be my father. But as I was seeking the Lord, as I was praying, the Lord impressed upon my heart to go ahead and minister to these precious souls. And the Lord impressed upon me to preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, to exhort from this passage. And can we just show it on the slide, please? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, it says here, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, and that He was buried and raised on the third day in accordance to Scripture." So here in this passage, the Apostle Paul tells us that the gospel is of first importance. It is of first importance. Now, church, if the gospel was the priority of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the great Apostle Paul, it is of first importance. Don't you think that we should prioritize the gospel in our lives as well? Now, guys, as I was sharing God's word, the Lord led me to emphasize, as I was preaching to these pastors, the Lord led me to emphasize about the importance of having a gospel-centered ministry. I encouraged them that everything we do in the ministry, whether it's inside the church or outside the church, it should have a gospel value. Now, everybody say gospel value. Say it louder, guys. Gospel value. Now, what is gospel value? Gospel value is when people see the holiness of God. Gospel value is when sinners are called into repentance. Gospel value is when people hear about the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel value is when people are told about the good news that is in Jesus. Gospel value is when sinners turn to Christ. So I was exhorting the pastors that we have to focus our ministry. This should be the driving force of our ministry. Now, after I preach, grabi ko kahuwasan, no? Finally, it's done. Now, I wasn't able to stay behind for the fellowship because I had some other matters to attend to. But Pastor TJ stayed behind because maybe Pastor TJ likes to eat. So he stayed for the party. Now, one of the pastors who attended that event approached TJ and told him that he was so happy about the preaching. Because according to him, many of the pastors he knew who attended that event focused their preaching ministry on feel-good sermons. You know, the type of sermons that are more like motivational speeches rather than gospel-centered sermons. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, ministries like this, ministries that are not gospel-centered, will never work. Because it takes away the very core message of Christianity. It takes away the very essence of Christianity. I mean, guys, sure, churches or ministries like this may still grow numerically. And some of them might even become mega churches. But let me tell you, there will hardly be any spiritual growth. And if any, genuine repentance will be scarce. Now, guys, if you take away the gospel from Christianity, what is Christianity? You talk about blessings? Buddhism can also talk about blessings. You talk about protection, the Islam faith can also talk about protection. However, it is only through the gospel where people will know that their God died for them because their God loves them so much. So that's why we have to focus on the gospel. Now, guys, this is a personal testimony about the deacons. I mean, the deacons may not like this, but I'm going to share it anyway. Anyway, they know I love them, no? Now, when we started the work here in Living Word IT Park, I ministered my heart out to these brothers. I studied all I can just so I would be able to minister to them on Tuesday nights. Okay, Tuesday nights, man to among Bible study before and even up to now, no? But you know what, guys? For years, no, as I was ministering to them, somehow I noticed that not just them, including myself, we were stagnating in our spiritual walk as if we were not growing in the Lord anymore. I mean, yes, we were still serving, we still walk with the Lord, but somehow we stopped growing in our relationship with Christ. Somehow there was like a spiritual plateau. Now, it was not until 2016 when Pastor TJ took my place. It was when Pastor TJ began to minister to our deacons that I began to see real spiritual growth in them, and myself included. Now, during that time, as if we were having a growth spurt in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Now, church, what made the difference? Obviously, Pastor TJ is a more gifted minister than I am, but I don't think that's the main reason. The main difference is this, guys. This is what I observe. While I was ministering to the deacons, I focused on what Jesus is able to do for them. I was telling them, yes, Jesus can bless you. Jesus can protect your family. Jesus can do miracles. Jesus can do this, do that. And in other words, the thrust of my ministry then was teaching people about what Jesus is able to do for them. And guys, don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. It's perfectly okay. But only becomes a problem when you only focus on this alone. And guys, it can only go too far before people stop maturing in their faith. People will stop to grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when Pastor TJ began to disciple us, when he began to minister to us, instead of focusing what Jesus is able to do, TJ focused on what Jesus has already done. You see the difference? My ministry was focused on what Jesus is able to do, but TJ focused on what Jesus has already done. In other words, TJ brought us back to the gospel. He instilled in us the importance of the gospel, inculcating in us the importance about having a gospel-centered life and a gospel-centered ministry. And that was when I began to see growth in the lives of our deacons. That is when I began to see growth, including myself. As in, again, we had a growth spurt during that time. Spiritual growth spurt. Taas naman si Bill, so di siya matubo. So spiritual growth spurt, no? So church, as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is highly important that we must hold fast and embrace and savor the glorious gospel of Jesus. Now church, this is Precious Degoma. Can we just show the picture, please? Okay, the lady on my left, okay, she's Precious Degoma. Oh, she's the daughter of the late Pastor Joel Degoma. Now, for those of you who do not know who Pastor Joel is, he's one of the pastors whom the Lord used to plant this very church where you are worshiping right now. Pastor Joel is one of the pastors who started the work here in Living Word IT. Now, in 2018, Press lost her dad due to heart failure. One morning, Pastor Joel just went out for a jog, and sadly, he never returned home. He never returned home to his family. He had a heart attack, and he went home to be with the Lord. Now, in that same year, as if things are not bad enough, Precious mom, Sister Daphne, the one in the middle, Daphne had a stroke. He had a stroke. Now, guys, can you imagine that? She lost her dad, and now her mom has a stroke. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine the pain and the suffering that this dear young soul has to go through. Well, guys, let me tell you, she soldiered on in her Christian walk, continued to love Jesus, continued to serve in the ministry. Why? Because Precious is one soul that truly embraces the glorious gospel of Jesus. She soldiered on because she knows the very message of the gospel. Now, early last year, Press and her mom naka-recover na taon si Sister Daphne, praise God. But she still, when she walks, mag-cane, gapon siya, no? But anyway, early last year, Press and her mom, they were busy planning for her 18th birthday party, her debut, or debut, if you want it to be slang, no? They were busy planning for her debut party. And according to her, when Pastor Joel passed, that's what they've been always looking forward to celebrate her 18th birthday. So early last year, they already made payments to the suppliers. They already booked the place and made a down payment for the place. I mean, they were just so excited to celebrate her 18th birthday. But guys, just weeks before her birthday, she was brought to the ER and she was hospitalized. She was diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune disease. And for the next few weeks, she was in pain. She was literally confined into a dark hospital room because she cannot be exposed to too much light. And she was there for the next few weeks. She was in pain. And she has to cancel her debut party. I mean, you know, she couldn't even move her body because according to her, if she will make the slightest move, sakit ko no kayang lawas. Now, church, humanly speaking, Press has every reason to become bitter, to be angry, or to be resentful in life. Or even to God. But you know what? If you meet her, she's one of the sweetest souls you'll ever meet. Totally in love with Jesus. On fire for her His kingdom. Now, late last year, when Press finally was able to recover, you know, she finally had her debut party. You know what, guys? On her debut party, the very thing that she made sure of was that her guests, her classmates, her teachers, her friends, all of them will hear the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after the party, she took the mic and testified how good, how great, how mighty, you know, how awesome God is. I mean, wow. Hearing her would just cause you to be so encouraged with your faith. Now, guys, Press is able to do that because Press is someone who truly treasures the gospel with all her heart. She knows that because of the gospel, life is not just about in this world. She knows that because of the gospel, someday she will be reunited with her dad together with Jesus. She is able to press on because she embraces the gospel with all her heart. And guys, let me just say this. It is only through the gospel that your perspective in life will be changed. It is only through the gospel that your mindset will be transported from what is temporal to what is eternal. So guys, as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, you've got to embrace and treasure the gospel with all your heart. Embrace the gospel. Now moving on, verses 16 to 17. Let's go back to our passage. It says here, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. So here in verse 16 and 17, the Bible tells us that after a full day of ministering to thousands of people, the disciples boarded the boat and traveled across Bethsaida. Now, guys, if we go to the parallel passage of our passage today in Matthew chapter 14, we can read that it was the Lord Jesus who ordered his disciples to get on the boat and go to the other side. In other words, it was Jesus' will. It was out of the command of Jesus. Jesus ang nagsugo siyang disciples to go to the boat and you guys go to the other side. Now, think about this. The disciples must have been very tired already, right? Now imagine a long day of ministry, feeding about 15 to 20,000 people. Can you imagine the load of work they've done for the day? You know, going around the place, distributing the bread, distributing the fish. Ambin nilaghuman na, Jesus said, okay, gather what was left. So, gather na po nila. I mean, they must have been very tired already during this time. But yet, we read here, verse 16, that after a long day's work, the Lord Jesus ordered to let them travel to the other side. Now, church, this brings us to point number two. And that is, if you are a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, know that the work of the kingdom never stops. The work of the kingdom never stops. It goes on and on and on and on and on until the day we will see the Lord Jesus himself. The work of the kingdom never stops. Now guys, 15 years ago, when we started the work here in Living Word IT, I will never forget what the late Pastor Joel Degoma told us. He said, there's a big difference between a secular work and the work of God's kingdom. And the difference is this. He said, in a secular work, you know, the harder you work, the more successful you become. And when you become successful, you can hire people to unload some of your burden, to ease off your workload, para mahayahay ka, so that you will be able to rest. But he said, it is not so in God's kingdom. Because the principle in God's kingdom, if you are faithful with the small responsibilities entrusted to you, then more and bigger responsibilities will be given to you, right? Parable of the talent. If you're faithful with the little, with the few, then more will be added to you. So church, the work of the kingdom never stops. It goes on and on and on and on. Now I am just grateful to God. I am just very thankful to God that the Lord has placed me in a church where people are actively involved for the work of His kingdom. And it truly blesses my soul, no? It makahappy ba? Seeing different brothers and sisters serving the Lord. And we need that, guys. No, we need to synergize. Me looking at the missions team, makahappy bitaw ko. No, they guys are serving their hearts out. You know, we have a chat group sa worship team. Every weekend, saba kaya na akong cellphone, ting 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 ting, because the mission teams are giving their update, no? And they are ministering to hundreds of souls, no? And one time, I asked Yuri ba, yo, because I was leading praise and worship last month, right? So, I asked Yuri, nga, yo, what time is the call time? He said, 8:30. So I was thinking, ah, sa yuha po, uy. You know what? When I came to church at around 8:20, the missions van was already packed. The missions team was already inside the van, all prayed up. They were ready to go to the mountainous area of Toledo to share God's word. And makabless ba? And why are they doing that? Because the work of the kingdom goes on and on and on and on. And again, it just blesses my heart that the Lord has placed me in a church where people are actively serving the Lord. Every Friday, I see the different prayer warriors who gather together to intercede for you guys, to intercede for the work of His kingdom. We have our Awana teachers. No, Awana teachers, when the weekend comes, they're busy preparing for their lessons to, you know, teach the young children about the gospel of Jesus. We have the music ministry who kanang committedly kanang every week without fail. They practice every weekend so that they will be able to minister to us. And the different discovery groups that we have, the disciples that we have, they study their lessons. They allocate time to be able to disciple different souls. Why? Because again, guys, the work of the kingdom never stops. So church, if you are a true, genuine follower of Christ, know with all your heart that the work of the kingdom goes on and on and on. Now, church, for those of you who are serving the Lord, let me encourage you, push lang tabesh, no? Push lang tabesh, because one day, our Savior will tell us, well done, my good and faithful servant. And nothing could be sweeter, no, in the whole of eternity than to hear those words. Hear the words of commendation from the Lord Jesus Himself. So again, don't be discouraged. If you are tired na ka because you're serving, just know that you're on the right path because the work of the kingdom never stops. Now guys, that being said, if the work of the kingdom never stops, let me address a very important concern then. And that is, if you consider yourself to be a Christian, but yet you are not involved in any work of His kingdom, then I think it is very wise that you examine your walk with the Lord, because something is definitely not right. Why? Because as true disciples, as true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of His kingdom never stops. Now, Reinhard Bonnke, one of the evangelists that I look up to, he says, God doesn't sit with sitters. He goes with goers. He said, the kingdom of God doesn't have a calling where you just come every Sunday to warm the chair and the rest of the week you do nothing for the kingdom. Again, God doesn't sit with sitters. He goes with goers. Now, church, if you want to serve the Lord, I mean, we are now having back-to-back service. We have to disciple so many people. You talk to Pastor TJ. I'm sure if you want to serve the Lord, if wala pa kay ministry and you want to serve the Lord, talk to TJ. I'm sure na yun ay trabaho mabahatag nimo. Because the work of the kingdom never stops. Amen? Still there? Amen? Okay. Now, let's move on. Verse 18. Now, as the disciples were traveling, you know, as they were traveling, in verse 18, it says here, the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. A strong wind was blowing. In other words, there was a storm. Now, church, after a long day's work, after instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ to travel to the other side instead of resting, here in verse 18, things became even more challenging for the disciples. Now, not only were they tired, now they have to row against the strong winds. They have to fight the big waves. No? They have to go through the storm. And this leads us to point number 3. As true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, deny not the narrow road. Let me say that again. Deny not the narrow road. Now, guys, you have to understand that as followers of the Lord Jesus, you will not cruise through this life in a bed of roses. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now remember, it was the Lord Jesus himself who instructed his disciples to get on a boat and travel to the other side. Now don't you think that Jesus knew that there was a storm coming? Of course, he does. But yet, he instructed his disciples to sail anyway. And my point is this, guys. Do not be alarmed when you face trials and challenges in life as you follow Jesus. Why? Because it is perfectly normal. And let me just say this. It's not something that is beyond God's control. God is still in control. No matter what challenges, what ordeals, what trials you go through in life, know and know with all your heart that the Lord is still seated on his throne and that he is in total control. Amen? Now, very quickly, let's take a look at some types of suffering that a follower of Christ may go through. Now, I have a sermon about Christian suffering, but because of time constraint, let's just sweep through some of the principles very quickly. What are the possible types of suffering that a Christian may go through? Okay? Now, we have what we call the pruning suffering. The pruning suffering. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 2, he says, "The Father prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will become even more fruitful." Now, the Lord's saying here, if you serve and you begin to bear fruit, the Father wants you to become even more fruitful. That's why he needs to prune you. Now, how many of you know that pruning experience is not a very pleasant experience? Now, imagine this. Maybe the Lord is looking at your life and is looking, okay, I want you to be fruitful, but you know, this relationship is really not healthy for you, so I need to cut this off. And when the Lord cuts it, Lord, so painful. I thought he was my forever. But the Lord wants you to become even more fruitful. So the Lord needs to get rid of some of the relationship that's not healthy for you. Lawrence, this lechon is not healthy for you anymore, so I need to cut it off. Lord, I'm a foodie. You know what I'm trying to say? No, pruning experience might not be very pleasant. But guys, it is for your own good. It is because the Lord wants to use you more. That's why he needs to, you know, take away some things in your life that's not beneficial for you. And sometimes it's not a pleasant experience. We also have what we call the assignment suffering. The assignment suffering. Now, you remember the story in John chapter 9, right? When the disciples saw a blind man and they asked Jesus, "Lord, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not this man or his parents, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, guys, this guy did not poke his eyes so he will become blind, no? But he was just born blind. Why? So that the glory of God might be displayed in his life. Now, we have what we call the assignment suffering. There are times in life that the Lord will allow you to go through hardships, go through storms, just so He will be able to display His glory in your life. Now, 11 years ago, just a few months after I was ordained as associate pastor here in our church, just 4 months after, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, why is this happening to me? I look at Facebook, Lord, my previous barkada, they're still out drinking, they're still out smoking. Ano, dili naman lang sila na cancer. Lord, why is it ako pa man? But then again, the Lord comforted me through this passage. Joe, it's your assignment. Are you willing to take it for me? And true enough, because of that cancer experience I had, I was able to share the gospel to so many people. And I thank God for that. So again, church, we have what we call the assignment suffering. And we have also what we call the building of faith, the building of character type of suffering. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. It says there, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So guys, there are also, you know, there are also types of trial that the Lord will use to build us up, to make us and mold us to become more and more like Him. And we also have what we call the spiritual warfare. Peter clearly warns us that the enemy prowls like a roaring lion. Guys, understand this. The moment you pledge allegiance with Christ, you are automatically in the crosshairs of the enemy, especially if you serve in His kingdom. Sabukon yuka, gubuton yuka sa yawa, no? The enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But take heart, because Jesus has come to give us life and have it abundantly. But the point is this. Spiritual warfare is very real. Now, last 3 weeks ago, I was leading praise and worship here. You know, I don't know if some of you noticed, there was that one particular Sunday that I was not able to finish the set. I just had to go down. Because I felt so dizzy, guys. As if I almost fainted here in front of you. Kauwaw na lang katan, no? And mind you, I can play basketball 3 rounds and I don't get dizzy. But that particular Sunday, as I was leading praise and worship, I know I felt like I was like collapsing. I just had to go down. Spiritual warfare is very real. But it's okay. God is still in control. I'm still here in front of you preaching because we serve a mighty God. Amen? Now, we also have what we call the discipline suffering. Hebrews 12:16, the Lord disciplines those whom He loves and chastises everyone He accepts as His children. The Lord does indeed discipline those whom He loves. Now guys, I have a friend who's a true, genuine Christian. But as genuine as he is, during his early years, medyo badlungon gud ba. He still goes to party, drinks a lot, but he professes Christian faith. And I know he's a genuine Christian. Anak ba siyang pastor, no? And you know what? Basin unsaon siya og badlong, no matter how much his dad reprimands him, he never listens. One night, he was riding his motorcycle, got into an accident. They needed to amputate his right leg. Painful discipline. But you know what? He's now a pastor, effectively used by God. So we have what we call the discipline suffering. So guys, as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, deny not the narrow road. And it's quite important. You know, some years ago, during our Tuesday Bible study, we actually have someone, and if my memory serves me right, she was already baptized in our church. And while we were discussing in our Bible study, our topic was about Christian suffering, this lady somehow just couldn't accept the idea that God would allow His people to go through suffering. You know what, church? She eventually left our church. And she's now back to her old religion. It's sad, no? But the reality is this, guys. If you are a genuine follower of Christ, you don't embrace suffering, but you do not deny it as well. Deny not the narrow road, okay? Now, moving on, verse 19 to 21. The rest of the passage, it says here, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Now here in verse 19 to 21, we can read that after rowing for several miles, after fighting the rough waves for several hours, the Lord Jesus finally caught up with his disciples walking on water. And the Bible tells us that they arrive at their destination. Now, church, to balance point number three, I would just like to balance it out with point number four. And this is one glorious truth about our Christian faith. Yes, we may walk on narrow roads. Yes, in this world, we might have tribulations. But church, know this and know this with all your heart. As true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be okay. Because the Lord will always come through for His people. Always. And when He does, nothing will be able to stop Him. Absolutely nothing. Not even the laws of nature. So point number four. If you are a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, know with all your heart that the Lord will always come through for you. Amen? Now in Psalm 34 verse 9, the Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Now notice that the Bible didn't say that the Lord delivers some of them, no, some of the troubles. But the Bible promises the Lord delivers him out of them all. Out of them all. Now guys, I've been a Christian for 26 years now. And I've met many Christians along the way. Brothers and sisters who went through the toughest ordeals in life. Brother who went to prison because of his faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters who's persecuted by their own family because they're professing faith in Christ. Brothers and sisters who are going through terminal illness. Brothers and sisters who lost loved ones because of tragic event. You know what, guys? I've never heard any one of them say that God failed them or God failed to show up. On the contrary, all of them say that God is so good and God is so faithful that God is always there for them. And guys, we serve a God who's always there for us. It is His promise. Never is He going to leave us. Never is He going to forsake us. Now guys, let me give you an illustration about the Lord's deliverance and intervention. No? Let me paint to you a picture on how the Lord intervenes and how the Lord delivers. And for me to be able to do that, let's use Psalm chapter 23, verse 24. Okay? Psalm 23, verse 24. It says here, si David ningon siya, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now guys, David says here, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now church, I want you to understand that God's deliverance can come in two ways. Now there are times that God will just make the valley disappear. No, He will not allow you to go through the valley. God will just pluck you out and put you into the other side immediately. Or He makes the valley completely disappear. And God is able to do that. God is a miracle-working God. And God will be able to do that. No, if it's His will, if it glorifies His name, no problem. The Lord will make your valley disappear immediately. However, there are also times that the only way out of the valley is through the valley. The only way out of the problem is through the problem. But guys, do not be discouraged. Know with all your heart that although it can be scary, although it can be discouraging, know that you are going through that dark valley with the King of Glory Himself, with the King of Kings, Creator of heaven and earth, accompanying you as you go through the many ordeals and challenges in life. You can be assured of that, guys. Now, during the bar exams in September 26, 2010, I don't know if many of you remember this, during the bar exams of September 26, 2010, a tragic event happened at the La Salle University. No? What was supposed to be a festive occasion turned into a very bloody event. Now, friends and family of the bar examinees were waiting outside the campus. They were excited to congratulate their loved ones who was taking the bar exam in the campus, the La Salle. No, it was a very festive event. However, at around 5 o'clock, a bomb went off. Gibumbahan. No, and there was chaos everywhere. I don't know if you still remember it, that it was all over the news. It was September 26, 2010. Now, during the aftermath, a TV station interviewed some of the people who were present during the event, at the event of the bombing. And there was this particular lady that was praising God and thanking God during her interview. No, she was really praising the Lord with all her heart during their interview. Why? Because according to her, when the bomb exploded, she was very near the bomb. But guess what, church? She was totally unscathed, totally unharmed, not even the slightest scratch. Now, church, what happened there? The Lord made the valley disappear. The Lord did not allow her to go through the valley. She was immediately transported to the other side of the valley. Again, the Lord is able to do great and mighty miracles. So what happened here? The Lord made the valley disappear. However, there was this other lady that was interviewed. Now, she lost both her legs during the explosion. In fact, her injury was so bad that the doctors only gave her 20% chance of surviving. But you know what? During her interview, just like the previous lady, she was praising God with all her heart. And there was no hint of anger. There was no hint of bitterness in spite of the fact that she lost both her legs. I mean, she was completely at peace during her interview, even very jolly. Now, when Pastor Mel saw that interview, he thought to himself, this lady must be a Christian. Because she really had a different aura despite the fact that she lost her leg. And true enough, it was confirmed that she's really a Christian because years after that event, she appeared on many different TV stations sharing her testimony on how the Lord spared her life. And when she did, there was no hint of bitterness, no anger, no whatsoever. Now, guys, what happened here? The Lord still delivered her, right? There was no anger, there was no bitterness, but the Lord allowed her to go through that valley experience. The Lord allowed her to go through that scary, to that discouraging experience. But let me tell you, God still came through for her. The last I've heard of her was that she's now a city councilor in San Juan. And a very strong, you can search about her. Her name is Raisa Laurel. She's mightily used by the Lord. And again, what happened there, guys? The Lord allowed her to go through the valley, but yet still, the Lord delivered her. Now, you have to understand, guys, that the Lord's intervention, the Lord's deliverance can either happen externally, like what happened to that woman that was, you know, that was unscathed during the bombing. And the Lord can either deliver us internally, like what happened to Raisa Laurel. Now, she's now being mightily used by the Lord, still enjoying her life, by the way. Now, church, over the years, Michelle and I had some stormy ordeals ourselves. Now, before we got married, we got into a car accident. Now, we got into a car accident. What happened was, there was a drunk guy who crossed the road. And it was very traffic during that time, no? Very traffic. And then, hinay ra kay kong dagan, but because he was drunk, naigo siya sa kong car, and he was thrown to my windshield. No, and then because of that, because he was thrown to the windshield, na buak akong windshield, no? Shan. Now, when that happened, we saw a mob coming after us. No, we saw a mob coming after us. Kay, you know, I think ihatong barkada ba. And then I have no choice because I cannot move forward. I cannot move backward as well because it was very traffic, and the mob was already coming to us. So Michelle and I had no choice. But we had to go out of the car and run. No? Okay? The mob was already coming, man. Yahay sa itong barkada. And guys, just when they're about to catch up, out of nowhere, a policeman on his way to church passed us by. And when he saw the mob, he stepped out of his car, got his weapon, and iyang giana ang mob, no? To stop ba? Nakagakos kong tango niya. No? And what? After the commotion, he came to me and said, "Boss, tanawa on sa akong nakuha." He confiscated from a mob a very long knife that was supposedly used to the guys wanted to stop me. But what happened here? God came through for us. Not a second late, not a second advance. God always comes through for His people. Again, as I mentioned, just 4 months after I was commissioned as a pastor, I was diagnosed with cancer. But guys, I'm still here. Why? Because God always comes through for His people. If you want to clap, give the Lord a clap of praise. In 2016, I was infected with a severe dengue. I had to be admitted for 11 days in the hospital. My platelet was dropping like crazy. But yet, I'm still here. Why? Because God always comes through for His people. Last year, Michelle had to be admitted in the hospital for a total of 30 days because of lung complication. No, a tube was attached to her for almost 30 days. But you know what? Last night, Michelle was busy teaching the Sunday school kids. And she's now busy preparing for our VBS. Why? Because God always comes through for His people. Now, church, this is what I realized over these things. The Lord will never stop intervening for His people. No matter what ordeals and trials we go through in life, the Lord will always intervene for us. He will always be there. And guys, listen to this. The moment the Lord stops intervening for us here in this world, what a glorious day that will be, because that will be the day the Lord wants us for Himself in heaven. But until that day comes, you and I, guys, we are okay because the Lord will always come through for us. Amen? I'll give the Lord a clap of praise. My Savior and your Savior will always come through for us. So church, know this. What doesn't kill you only makes you closer to Him. And what kills you brings you to Him. So brothers and sisters, you're okay. Okay? Now guys, here in verse 21, the Bible says that the disciples made it to their destination because the Lord Jesus was with them. And what's true for these disciples is true for you and me as well. We will arrive at our destination. We will arrive to whatever the Lord has called us to do. Because if we walk closely with the Lord, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Know with all your heart that God will always come through for His people. Now guys, before we go to our final and last point, just allow me to highlight something here in verse 19, okay? Now, I feel this is something important for our church. Now here in verse 19, it says here, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea coming near the boat. And they were what? They were frightened. Nahadlok sila. Now guys, I've read all the accounts of this passage. Matthew, Mark, and John. Now it's quite interesting to note that none of them ever mentioned that the disciples were scared of the storm. Matthew, Mark, and John, none of them ever mentioned that the disciples were afraid when the waves got big, when they were battling the strong winds. None of them ever mentioned that the disciples were scared. So mga mainlaki ni mga disciples, mga isog kayo ni sila. No, they were not afraid to die. They were rowing because, you know, bagyo ka lang, disciples kami. No? But yet, when they saw Jesus walking on water, the Bible tells us that they were terrified. Isog talawan di ay. Because they thought that Jesus was a ghost. Now guys, why were the disciples terrified of this great miracle that the Lord Jesus performed? Now let me just say this. They were scared because they attributed this great and mighty miracle that Jesus did to the dark forces. No? Jesus performed a mighty miracle and immediately they were thinking that ungo man eh. It's supernaturally dark. They were scared because they attributed the work of the Lord to dark forces. Now church, it's sad to say that up to the present, there are actually Christians who think that supernatural occurrences are of the dark forces. There are actually Christians who think that, you know, when miracles happen, when signs and wonders happen, they automatically attribute it to dark forces. I mean, sure, there are a lot of fake miracles happening. There are a lot of phony miracle workers. But that doesn't mean that genuine miracles have ceased to exist. That doesn't mean that signs and wonders have ceased to exist. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a miracle worker then. He's still a miracle worker now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? You want to hear a story? You want to hear a story? Okay, I'll share it. Gawas lang din mo after the service, ha? Because we have another bunch of people coming in. But let me just share this story, no? Guys, a few months ago, Chuck was really sick. Chuck, the in charge of our missions team. And according to him, in his own words, he have never been sick that way. So days before leading to that event, it was a Saturday. Previous days to that, lain agad ang lawas. Sakit na siya. He could not function well. He could not do his job properly because he was feeling very ill. Came Saturday morning, he was flat. According to him, his body was already very painful. He had high fever. He can barely stand. He can barely stand. That's why he was laying in the bed the whole day. But the thing is, every Saturday night, Chuck has a life group. He needs to disciple our missions team, no? So he was planning to cancel the missions team discipleship. And I think, in fact, he already said he's not going to join because he was dead sick during that time. And according to him, however, there was a prompting in him to attend the Saturday service. He just couldn't understand it. He couldn't explain it. But something within him just prompts him to join the Saturday service. And it so happened that day, I was the one preaching. As I was preaching, I also had a prompting in me to pray for Chuck. No? So after my preaching, I called the congregation, those who need prayers, you come in front, and I will be praying for you. So Chuck came forward. No? Chuck came forward to be prayed for. Now guys, while I was praying for Chuck, I felt heat coming out of my hand. No? But I didn't mind it. I was just praying. Ambilan ako init ang ulo ni Chuck ba? No, I just didn't mind. I was laying and praying for him. You know what Chuck said to me? He said, while I was praying for him, he felt as if there was heat coming inside his body from his head going all the way down to his foot. And the heat that came inside him took away all the heat that was inside of him. And right then and there, he was completely healed. And because if you want to clap, give the Lord a clap of praise. Now guys, Chuck was completely healed. In fact, after the very service, he told his life group, okay guys, I'm ready to cook. Let's meet. He was completely healed. Miracles still happen. Now, if you ask me, am I a miracle worker? Let me tell you, no, I'm not a miracle worker. Will I be able to do it again? What di ko'y kalibutan? I really don't know. No? Who performed the miracle was the Lord. It was not me. Now, guys, I don't believe in, prophet who, apostle so-and-so is a miracle. I don't believe that. I don't believe that people can dispense miracles. It is God who operates the miracle. You know, what Chuck did was just his obedient to obey the Lord to come to the Saturday service. What I did was just being obedient to the Lord to pray for Chuck. And it was the Lord who performed the miracle. And my point is simply this, guys. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, be open to miracles. Be open to signs and wonders. Because the Lord is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Now, before we end, just a quick recap. If you're a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, hold fast and embrace the gospel with all your heart. Number two, know that the work of the kingdom never stops. Number three, deny not the narrow road. Number four, be assured and know and know and know with all your heart that the Lord will always come through for you. And last but not the least, number five, live a life of worship. As true disciples of Jesus Christ, live a life of worship. Now in our passage today, it was not mentioned by John, but it was mentioned by Matthew. And Matthew said, when Jesus got into the boat, the disciples worshiped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. The disciples worship him. Now guys, when Jesus comforted his disciples saying, it is I, do not be afraid. The it is I there is a declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the great I am. He's declaring that he is God. And when he did that, when he got into the boat, the disciples worshiped and called him, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, church, as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, live a life of worship. You embrace the gospel because you live a life of worship. You work in the kingdom of God because your motive is worship. You deny not the narrow road. You're willing to go through that dark valley because you want to worship the Lord. And you wait for the Lord's deliverance. You wait for the Lord's help in worship. Now, church, as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, live a life of worship. Amen? Amen? Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We humbly ask and pray that you could allow your word, O God, to continuously, O God, minister to us in the days to come, in the weeks to come, even in the months to come, Lord. And whatever has been done and accomplished today, we give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.